Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to celebrate the octave of Easter. Happy Easter to you. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. And we're here again today with Peter Burak, my good friend and member of our team at Renewal Ministries. I've invited Peter to join us because a few weeks back, he had, after just coming back from some meetings in Rome, he said he was reading Acts chapter 2, which are the readings that the church gives us in this to begin this octave of Easter together. And he was sort of lit up by the passages that he was inspired and really felt like God was speaking to his heart. So I said, well, why don't you come and join me? Let's have a conversation together with our friends who are listening. And so, friends, we're going to continue a conversation we began yesterday. So welcome back, Pete.
Good. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. Why don't you tell our audience, what were you doing in Rome anyway?
Yeah, good question. Having lots of gelato and pasta and all of that. But mm-hmm. No, the moment of the church is an interesting one right now where in some ways the eyes of the church is focused on the next generation. And so there was a synod last fall on this very topic, and the Pope has written an apostolic exhortation. Christ lives on this topic. But in the midst of all that, there were some lay leaders who felt like more could be discussed or more could be contributed to the conversation. And so a couple people organized a meeting under the blessing of the Pontifical Council for the New Evangelization. And we went to Rome for 4 days to talk about the next generation. And it was really cool. There were leaders from literally all over the world. They're all trying to reach people kind of 30 and under, and talked about how it's going, what's the struggles, what's working, what's not. And I came away in some ways both very excited and sobered by it, where the challenges are very real all over the world, and yet there is still hope, of course, and the Lord is still moving. But it's interesting, it was this passage on the plane ride home that the Lord brought me to, because in the midst of all the various discussions about what do we need and what's not working and what is working, there's a certain way that the Lord, I feel like, brought me back to just the basics of what did Peter proclaim, basically the first chance he got once he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. What does he feel like, and what does the Lord feel like, is most important right out of the chute. And I think there's a lot in there that can teach us about, in terms of our own life with the Lord, but also our life as missionary disciples. If we don't know this backwards, forwards, inside and out, to the depths of our being, then we are going to struggle to see the conversions we hope for, because this is what the Christian message is all about.
Yeah. And so if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, friends, we were looking at some of the preamble, you might say, up to this, talking about Luke chapter 24, where Jesus, just after he had risen from the dead, first time he met with the apostles, he talked about the importance of his resurrection, talked about the centrality of the mission, and the centerpiece of the mission is to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to the world, and that the apostles were going to do that as witnesses, first of all, to Jesus' death and resurrection, and secondly, they could do it only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that was kind of our central theme yesterday. Then we ended with the beginning of this section from verse 14, where Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. He interprets what's happening in the outpouring of the Spirit that clearly is hitting the apostles. People can see it. They think that they're drunk. Peter stands up and says, what we're experiencing, what's happening, what you're seeing is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel saying that God in the last days will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And I was thinking about a paragraph from the Catechism, paragraph 670. It says, since the ascension, God's plan has entered into its fulfillment. We are already at the last hour. Already the final age of the world is with us, and the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway. It is even now anticipated in a certain way, for the church on earth is endowed already with a sanctity that is real but imperfect. Christ's kingdom already manifests its presence through the miraculous signs that attend the proclamation by the church. This is basically taken right out of Acts 2 in terms of the idea and the spirit of the whole thing. So it's the last hour is about the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father pouring out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. That's how the church is born, and that's how his kingship and his authority gets extended, and freedom is brought to sinners across the face of the earth, and they're one for the king. They're brought in, and that's what we're sent to do. So let's take a look at, starting with verse 22, where Peter then begins to tell the story, and he begins to preach the kerygma, you might say.
Yeah. Well, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know," which is interesting. This is a crowd who knew Jesus, right? They knew he existed. This is not a crowd that would deny the fact that he existed. Yeah. He was present to them. "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God," this was not accidental, "you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it."
You make the point. We're talking about Jesus, the one from Nazareth, Mary's son, that guy.
Yeah, the carpenter.
Yeah, the carpenter. This is the one. This is the one we're. And let me tell you what we know about him.
Yeah.
Was essentially. So he's trying to make sure they remember clearly who it is they're speaking about, and that his crucifixion was a part of the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. So he wasn't a failed Messiah. Like, there were failed Messiahs in Israel, right?
Right.
And people were often disheartened, you know, because they get their hopes up, they try to overthrow, you know, the Romans, throw them out, whatever. And time and time again, every Messiah failed. And what they're trying to say is, look, this Messiah has come according to the foreknowledge, the definite plan of God, and everything that happened to him. It's not failure. This, we're talking about victory. So,
yeah, and how do they know that?
Yeah.
Well, he told them, right? He told his disciples, he forecasted, he prophesied what would happen to him. And at the time, they didn't understand, and they were wondering, and Peter even would rebuke him. You know, there was that famous passage, "I need to go up to Jerusalem," and Peter says, like, "No, you can't do that," you know, and then he's like, "Get behind me, Satan," right?
Yeah.
There's like a very dramatic moment. Well, all of a sudden, Peter gets it now. The Spirit's on him. Mm-hmm. He understands. He sees in a new way the full narrative of what God had set out to do through Jesus. And now he's proclaiming it with boldness. Like, no, this was supposed to happen, guys.
Yeah.
And we are witnesses of that. That's such a theme throughout this whole passage is we are witnesses. We are witnesses. We've seen this. You've seen this. But we are attesting to the truth of these statements.
Yeah. And the centerpiece of it is God raised him up in verse 24.
Right.
This is what we're telling you. God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. What are your thoughts about that verse?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like, literally, the most powerful force that most of us would attribute in the world would be death, right? The universal human experience. And the craziness of the gospel, what's so dramatic about this Jesus of Nazareth, is that the man, the God-man, died for our sins, experienced what we all experience, or what we all will experience, and his experience ultimately was different.
Mm-hmm.
That what is final for us was not final for him.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, that is the ultimate testimony of who he is that no other man, through his own power, has been raised from the dead. No other man could break the power of death. And Jesus has. And how do we know it? Because we saw him. And he poured out his Spirit. And he walked with us. And he fed us again. Like, that's basically what Peter's saying is, we know because he came back. We saw him die. You all saw him die. And yet he came back. That demands serious scrutiny. That demands a serious question in your own heart of, like, what does this mean if this man can die and rise again? But then I love how Peter proves it by immediately going back to Scripture. He says, because remember, this has been foretold. This was part of the plan. And he dives right into David in the Psalms, saying the Messianic Psalms that proclaim that this will happen. The righteous one will be scorned, will be beaten, will be killed, but God will not let him suffer, you know, the eternal pains of death. Like, he will be raised at some point. And it's just it's a really incredible culmination of all of this, that here is the righteous one dying for the unrighteous, and through that act of love, even death itself could not hold him down.
Yeah, that's so good. And this one verse, 24, is so relevant to absolutely everyone who's listening.
Yeah,
because the pangs of death will hold us down. Right? Essentially
right.
What we're saying.
Because
unless you have a power within you, that the same thing can be said of you, Death could not hold him down, right?
Mm, yeah.
That's what has to happen. That's what Christianity is all about. Because the death problem, going back to the fundamental mission of what Jesus sent everybody out for, to say, tell them what you saw, tell them that I rose from the dead, tell them what I taught, and then who I am, and that mercy's coming to the world in the form of offering repentance and forgiveness of sins, because the sin problem is the core. It's the poison. Sin is the poison that's producing that death problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mortal reality. You know, it's mortal sin. It's deadly, and it has a power over us, so much so that it's once its pangs are on us, once its clutches are on us, you can't release yourself from it. There is no way out. And no one has ever seen anybody who's passed out of it. It's the ultimate dark power,
yeah.
Right? And then here it is. They're saying, guess what? We're telling you, death doesn't get the last word. We actually saw. We actually touched. We know for sure he's passed from death to life. He's alive again. And because finally, there's a human being. There's a human person who we saw and touched, and you actually knew him.
Yeah.
Death couldn't hold him down, couldn't hold that guy down, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Essentially.
Totally amazing.
And so then the preaching, it starts with that fact. It's the fact of salvation. And this is the central reason why Jesus is the only Savior of the world as we go along, as opposed to, they didn't get up and say, hey, Jesus is really kind of a wonderful sort of poetic spiritual guru. He's an amazing prophet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's just a holy man. I want you to know this whole, we liked him. He was awesome. But no, this is what they wanted everybody to know. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even talking about kind of life on earth here. I mean,
right.
Other than at the end of the repentance and the baptism for the forgiveness of sins. But they're talking about the eternal consequences of life with Christ or life without Christ. I mean, they're talking about a cosmic reality that transcends the self-help program that Jesus can sometimes be presented as. You know, like,
yeah.
You'll be more peaceful, you'll be more joyful, you'll be more loving. Yeah, that's all there,
yeah.
Right? But that's not what it's built out of. It's built out of this.
Yeah.
This, the reason all that is possible is because of this.
No, that's absolutely true. As Peter then situates Jesus is rising from the dead, as you said, in Psalm 16. Basically, he quotes Psalm 16, where it's a messianic psalm, and talking about, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will you let your Holy One see corruption. What Peter's doing there is the Jews mainly saw that as an application to King David, but Peter's saying, wait a minute, couldn't have been talking about David, because David, we know David's tomb is in Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's saying, right over there.
Yeah, it's right over there.
Yeah.
And who could he be talking about the Messiah? And then he'll say more about how David's whole life points to, in his, he's a type of the Messiah that was to come, who is Jesus, who does end up fulfilling all of this, because he could not see corruption. And the Jewish rabbis used to teach that the decomposing of the human body begins on the fourth day, you know? And so that he was in the ground for 3 days, and he rose before any corruption basically could begin within him, in his own body.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, so that's part of that whole reading. So Pete, just a few seconds left again. Friends, I hope you're enjoying this. We really are enjoying this, just because of the beauty and majesty of Jesus and what he's accomplished. We're going to continue to take up these readings tomorrow. I hope you can join us. Have your friends tune in. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.